Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today on the show, we've got a very, very, very important guest. Probably the most important guest we've ever had on the show. This one you'll want to listen to. I'm the guest. That's right, Glenn James. So the guest that we've got interviewing me is Beau Humphreys. He runs a podcast out of Canada called The Personal Finance Show. Now, Beau is a very good interviewer, and once I had a listen to this interview, I thought, geez, he actually extracted a bit of gold out of me that other people might be able to learn from. So if you want to learn how I manage my own money, how I hustled my way from leaving school at age 16 into a trade, then into financial services, and then into starting my own business, this is probably a good listen, and hope you learn something about me. Bye. So I guess my first memory about money, I don't know the exact age, but I would have been under 10 years old, and my grandfather had property, and he had 22 acres.
Oh, wow.
North of Sydney, 3.5 hours, like it was the countryside, beautiful.
Okay.
And in Australia, and I'm not sure about Canada, we've got a thing called fireweed. It looks like a yellow flower.
Okay.
But it's a weed and it spreads like fire.
Probably has something very similar.
Yeah. So he said one day, do you want a job? I'm like, sure. And he said, well, you can pick the fireweed and I'll pay you 50 cents an hour.
Pick it like by hand?
Yeah, like okay. Remove it. And I thought,
50 cents an hour.
No deal. Not doing it.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's too much exertion for such a small return.
You knew that already somehow.
Yeah. And I was under 10. The biggest problem and the biggest asset that I've got in my life is being self-aware to a fault.
Interesting.
Which even saying that is
not early. So, you're pretty aware of that.
Yeah.
Which is
so it's funny, like, so I thought, I'm just not, and it's kind of, I look back now and like my business ventures and whatnot, like, if it's not actually worth it, I won't exert the energy.
Well, that's pretty smart. I think that's what they teach you in business school.
Right.
Like, if you think it's not going to pay off, don't even start it. Do the risk analysis first. So you have that maybe built in?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yep. Interesting.
Yeah. So that was my first.
Did you negotiate him up?
No.
You just said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Not doing
Grandpa?
It. Yeah. Yeah, pop. Pop.
Pop, is that the term in Australia?
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's both, but he was pop.
Pop.
Yeah.
And so did you start doing something else then at that point to make money? Or did you care about making money at that point?
No, not really. But
you didn't need it. Did you need it for anything?
Well, I was under 10, so.
What did your parents, what if you need sweets or
Well, they would just buy it for
so
us.
So they would buy you things.
We never really had pocket money.
Yeah, like an allowance or weekly do chores around the house.
Yeah,
no
I
matter,
mean,
or
like we would
help out.
Yeah, I remember like I would have to mop the floor and vacuum and do the dishwasher and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which was just, part of being a part of the family, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like that way of doing it, because if you're not going to just include it as part of being a kid and being part of a family, then at least structure it like a job would be, so that they get used to that. Like, you've got to teach them something,
totally,
right? If they just do like a half-assed job and then get some money, well, that's what they're probably going to do when they get the job.
Exactly.
And I got to think about what is allowance for. But so you didn't even do that. That structure wasn't there.
Not really, but I didn't want for anything as well. So it was really good.
What were your parents doing for money for work?
They were just, Dad was a truck driver
interstate for many years. Yeah. Mum worked at the pharmacy.
Okay. Like as an assistant?
Yeah. Yeah. And then dad started his own business.
Okay.
And had a cleaning business.
So entrepreneur, your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And he owned his trucking business. So, and my grandfather was also a small business owner. So it was kind of destined that I would work for myself.
You probably got someone to pay 25 cents to do the... Exactly. He was offering you a high rate.
Maybe. So... But who knows, he might have been prepared to negotiate to $2 an hour.
No, he's just starting low.
Based on that spirit of negotiation, I don't want anything to do with you.
I don't like the way you started, Pop. This first offer is insulting to me.
Exactly. I'm so freaking nervous, but I just wanted to jump in and say thank you to Glee Coffee Roasters for looking after us. Remember, gleecoffee.com.au. If you want to buy any coffee or the coffee subscription, if you like good coffee, jump on and use the promo code M3 in the checkout for 15% off. Thanks, Glee.
You're listening to My Millennial Money. Unlike a current affair, we won't go on and on about the most effective washing detergent, but we will tell you about the best way to lose weight.
Fast forward, I was 15 years old, always had an interest in shares and entrepreneurial books. And I remember reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad like a million years ago.
Really? As an early teen?
Yeah, that was like my first.
Wow.
My first thing, and then...
And just for people who don't know, what's the quick summary? Is you have to get property or assets.
Well,
right?
For me, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, I tell my listeners, if you haven't read it, do it tomorrow, because it's a mindset thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the premise is this young man, he grew up under a father that was a school teacher, safe government job, and he had a friend's dad who was a very wealthy property investor. And they had two different schools of thought. One was government job, one job, don't take risks, that's your lot, you know, forevermore, amen, you'll be fine. The other one is life's too short, take risks, do stuff that other people aren't doing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, that was really cool to read that. And then, I'll do like a community college weekend course about shares, because I just had an interest in that. And then I didn't love school because I didn't like people telling me what to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here and, you know, I came first in business studies. I really liked that.
But somehow you already knew what to do, which is what people don't know when they go to school. And
exactly.
That's why they're okay sitting it. But you had this idea of you just knew what you wanted. So I could see that being frustrating.
So I wanted to leave school and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I wasn't allowed to leave school unless I got an apprenticeship. At the very least, which is
allowed by your parents or the law how does it work?
Well, by my parents.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, it was a four-year structured course and a trade, and that was in telecommunications.
Okay.
So, I did that for 4 years and I was the youngest in my year. So, by the time I was 20, I left school at 16 and by the time I was 20, I had been fully qualified telecommunications technician.
Okay.
And...
this is like going to school, but you didn't have to go to a college or university.
Well, you did the college one day a week.
Okay, yeah.
So it was a technical college, and then the 4 days was on the job.
So, what exactly were you qualified to do then?
See this Cisco phone system here?
Yeah, so
program like them, landline. Install them, do the big commercial systems.
Okay. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so...
So, at the age of 20, you're already qualified for this.
Yeah. And I knew that that wasn't something I wanted to do. I wanted to work with money or do something. And then I saw a course, like a financial planning course. Long story short, I quit that role after, you know, doing the apprenticeship.
So, you're all ready to go. And how long do you actually spend working as that? Not even...
I did it for basically 4 years, the apprenticeship, and a couple of months after the apprenticeship finished.
So, you did what you had to do.
Yeah, and then I knew it wasn't for me.
Yeah, well, that's what you got to do sometimes.
But conversely, I believe nothing is wasted.
No, I agree.
The skills that I learned then, I apply to my life today.
Sure.
The forward thinking, strategic thinking, critical thinking, problem solving, dealing with people.
You can always take something.
Absolutely.
Even just one little thing, but you got a lot of things.
Totally.
I'm sure it taught you
everything.
You just have to have an open mind.
I mean, I was a 16-year-old apprentice going into offices, communicating with people.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's totally valuable.
Yeah, totally. Priceless even.
Yeah, okay.
I started studying financial planning correspondence and I tried to get a job in financial planning, in finance.
Sure.
And I think I went for like 5 or 6 interviews and I couldn't get a job.
And was there a reason?
Not sure.
Availability.
I just wasn't
qualified.
All that, just couldn't get a job.
Sure.
And I was ready to go back to telecommunications. It was like, and then I went to one recruiter. I remember the very end of it. I'm like, this is the last time I'm going to a recruiter. Went to a recruiter for this admin job. And they said, oh, we're really sorry. The job that you're here for has just been taken. They got someone else and they canceled us. However, one that we recently filled, the guy just pulled out of and we think it's a good fit for you.
And it was?
It was a admin reception role at a financial planning office.
So, way to get in.
Way to get in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was collecting the mail and the milk of a morning.
Sure.
On the front desk reception, like, which is, I think it's a valuable job for the right person.
Yeah.
For me, I learned a lot. So I was in this firm. So I went to the interview. I was late to the interview because I was just like, I'm over it. I don't even care anymore. Like,
yeah, okay.
Late to the interview. I'd already started studying and I worked at that place for 4.5 years.
Okay.
And moved from reception to admin to paraplanning, doing financial advice documents for the advisors.
Yes.
Then I would be an associate advisor.
Yeah, okay.
So advising clients. And then I was 25 years old. And I was commuting from the Central Coast in New South Wales, Australia, to Sydney, which is an hour north on the beach. So I was commuting to Sydney every day. And I'm like, I don't want to move to Sydney. I want to start my own business. So I started my own business at age 25 doing financial planning.
Okay. And you're fully qualified and you have
the experience. I'm licensed. I basically did another apprenticeship in financial planning.
Yeah, you did. A lot of CFPs will go out and do this on their own, but maybe they'll do it later than 25.
Sure.
Yeah, this is very early.
Yeah, right? That's right.
So at 25, you're already ready to start your own firm because you feel like you can go out on your own when maybe someone would be 5 years later or even 35.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So you're getting a head start on that. How are your finances at this point? Like, were you making money as an apprentice?
Well,
before, like 16 to 20?
Yes.
And then after while you were working up to 25?
Yeah. So I was employed from 20 to, 25 at the financial planning office.
Yes. Doing all those
My base
roles.
Salary was like 35 grand. Like,
so
it was nothing.
Were you able to save anything?
Not really. You just can't save money on the minimum income, really. Like,
so did it really start when you were 25 then? Like when you got your own thing, that's when you were able to start saving?
So basically, the amazing story was a year before I quit my job, a very wealthy individual got a job there advising who had just moved from the country.
Okay.
So like 6 hour drive away.
Sure.
Very wealthy. And he sat next to me and I worked with him and he was my rich dad.
Okay.
My mentor.
So you got to have a mentor next to you.
Yeah. So every day we used to go and get lunch.
Nice.
And he changed my mindset from the working class. Like, my dad had his own business, but he just owned his job, right?
Sure.
But this guy full on mentored me to change my mindset.
The wealth creation mindset.
Totally.
Yeah.
But anything's possible mindset.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Like, you do what you want. Because I said to him once, like, we were joking around, and I said to him, you know that saying, oh, you can't have it all? Like,
yeah.
He's like, why not?
Why not? Yeah. I like to say that.
Yeah.
It's power of positive thinking as well. And sometimes it might sound unrealistic, but I still believe you should say things like that.
Totally.
I want to do that. I want to do that. Maybe you're not being realistic in every point, but if you say I can't do it, then that will come true. Right?
Totally.
So he changed that mindset for you.
Absolutely.
And did that give you sort of the motivation to go on your own? Was that like just at the tail end of...
That was like a year before I quit.
Sure.
And then he was departing to do another role and we kind of had a joke with each other like, oh, the first one to leave wins. And really amazing, we left within a day of each other.
He retired?
No. He was only in his 40s.
I thought maybe he was at the end because that's why he was so wealthy, but he just did well. in
previously,
his the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, because he had a farm and he sold that. And so he was worth many millions.
Yeah. So, and what did he go and do? Just a sidebar.
He did other advising, and then he landed a national role for a big firm. Now he's doing his own venture capital stuff. And the cool thing was, he actually, because I said, I've got no money. Like, how can I do this?
Yeah.
Like, and he goes, well, I'm going to write you a check. Hmm. And he said, I'm never going to ask for it back. If you want to pay it back, it can be in a week, 10 weeks, 10 years, whatever, but I'll never ask you for it.
Yeah.
There you go. Go start your business.
And so that you were his first venture capital.
Well, I think it was just someone who believed in me. Yeah. It was a gift.
Hmm.
And,
can you tell me how much it is, or is that?
Oh, I would prefer not.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
But it was significant.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was $500.
Sure.
It would have been.
Something to give you
confidence. But it wasn't the money. It was, someone actually believes that I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really matter how much, right?
Yeah.
If we know how much it is, it might skew our view of this act.
Yeah.
Giving you the
It was under $10,000.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a lot of money.
Yeah. But you're just like, wow.
Mm.
I can do this.
Yeah, yeah. So, before I started my business, I basically spent the months before marketing and contacting people that could send me clients.
Okay, yeah.
So,
is that okay to do?
I guess.
Like, if
do what I want, right?
In hindsight, though?
Yeah, I didn't mind. I mean, I took a couple of sick days and went and talked to other businesses and said, hey, I'm starting a... I now focused on insurance first, like life insurance, income insurance, because I started approaching mortgage brokers for them to refer me clients, because if I couldn't get clients, I couldn't make money.
No.
And so I spent the first, like, I think in my first year of business, I met with 42 businesses in my area to refer me clients.
And why were they choosing?
Well, and that was it. I said, look, I'm good at what I do. I'll hero you. I'll keep you in the loop, and it's more of a value proposition for you to look after your client by ensuring that your customer has the right insurance.
Yeah.
And I won't farm them out to any other brokers, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So, I guess it was funny. The first financial year, my financial, because I did a bit of a business plan because I needed a license in Australia, and the company I was licensed through, who I still am today, at the time, the financial planning license cost $26,000 a year.
Wow.
And they gave me 6 month fee free.
Okay. Is that common or?
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
So they said, we're not giving you a license unless you prove that you can do this. So we need a business plan.
Something detailed. Yeah.
So I basically projected, I want to generate in the first year, I think I said like $90,000.
Okay.
Or $100,000, $97,000 I think it was.
Like in the first year of business.
The first financial year.
Sounds reaching. Was it far reaching?
It was doable,
I thought. Okay.
And after the first year, I basically did it.
Okay.
It's almost more than doubled my income that I was earning.
Yeah.
Before.
How did you do it?
Before I left my business, the company that I worked for, the guy who trained me, he said, just remember two things. Look after people and don't chase the dollars.
Okay, yeah.
So, I just set out to help people. So, the more people you help, the better you'll do.
Yeah, I agree with it. Yeah. Like, people like to think that it doesn't always work. Or does it always work in your experience?
I think in the long run, it will.
Yeah.
So, you've just got to play a long game.
Yeah, that's right. People want it to happen right away. I think that's probably the biggest fallacy, right?
Yeah. So,
instant returns.
Totally. So, everything I do in my life, I do it for the Glenn in 5 years, for the Glenn at age 65.
Nice.
So, like at the moment, we've got superannuation in Australia. You can put up to $25,000 a year into that retirement savings account. I cap mine out every year.
Okay.
And people go, you're so young. Why are you putting 25 grand away?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I'm a spender.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
I'm like, if it doesn't get locked away,
put it away.
I'm going to spend it. Like, I'm doing it to protect the Glenn James.
Well, that's what a lot of people.
40 years' time.
People, like, because we have RRSPs, which is very similar to supers. It's locked away. Yeah. You pay a penalty if you take it out. You can for a certain reason.
We can't even take it out until preservation at age 60.
So that's more like a locked in retirement account. So
absolutely.
Which we have, it's closer to like a pension sort of deal. You could take it out like if you're at poverty level for a couple of years or if you have some kind of medical.
Yeah, we get all that.
You have the, there's reasons, but it's basically locked away.
It's locked away, yeah.
People also look though at property in that way too. Would you say the same thing? Like, is it a forced savings to pay a mortgage?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've got my main house that I live in with a mortgage. Mm-hmm. I've got an investment property with a mortgage, and I've got a third property which will be completed next year, which will have a mortgage as well.
And you would spend that money.
Yeah, but so the big thing in Australia with wealth creation was interest only on investment loans.
Okay.
So you just pay the interest, you don't pay the capital down.
Hmm.
And then in the future, hopefully the capital value will increase and then inflation will help pay the debt off, blah, blah, blah.
Like
20 years, whatever.
Like it's always interest only.
Yeah, well, you've got to refinance it after 5 years.
Sure, okay.
But all my loans are now principal and interest.
Yeah.
Because it's forced savings, I'm paying down debt, I'm buying an income stream for the Glen James in 30 years.
Well, how do you feel about debt?
I don't love it. I mean, I don't have any consumer debt.
Yeah, that was different than leverage debt, like a mortgage.
I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey in America, but it's not possible in Australia to buy property without debt.
No, where can you buy property? Like maybe here in Florida.
Yeah.
Because it's like $100,000 property.
Yeah. I mean, my first investment property was $450,000.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's saving that. No one is.
Even if you started early like you did, or people can do it if they get, say, gifts or from parents, or if you have an early inheritance somehow. But yeah, even that much cash, it's not possible.
Totally. And
Ramsey thinks that it's possible?
Well, in America, and it might be in America.
Mm-hmm.
If I lived here, I probably would do property his way
because
I just don't like debt.
So save up all the money you need. That's what he says, basically.
Yeah. And it might be a longer game. But you've just got to remember, he hasn't made money from investing. He's made money from telling people how to pay off debt.
Yeah.
And I really respect him. And I would take his advice all day long.
Yeah.
But in Australia, it is not possible to buy property without gearing.
Yeah. And maybe in parts of Canada, like parts of the States too, but not where I'm from and not where you're from in terms of areas.
But yeah, like consumer debt, I don't have, I use credit cards while I'm, overseas, got my Amex, so I don't pay the international fee. And if the car gets stolen, it's easy. But day to day, I use Visa debit. I don't chase points. I don't buy lounges on,
Even reward cards for that. Even if you're going to pay it off. Are you at risk? Do you feel like you're at risk if you use credit in that way?
Yeah, my personality is.
Sure.
So what I do when I teach, because I've got an online course that I made because I was sick of telling people how to manage their money.
Sure.
What I do is I've got an account that's with one bank, and the only app that is on my phone is that bank.
Okay.
And the only card that's in my wallet, or the only Apple Pay on my phone is that card.
Okay.
Now, I call that my blow account.
Yeah. Okay.
And I put $600 a week into that blow account.
Okay.
And I don't have to use my brain. I can just blow that money.
Oh, yeah.
Food, entertainment, going out, anything, don't use my brain for, and I do that weekly.
Okay, and that's because you can afford that. Everything else has been taken care of.
Yeah, I've got a bills account. Stuff's taken care of. I've got savings.
All the fixed stuff's accounted for. All done.
I pay myself fortnightly or biweekly from my business into my cash hub, and then weekly out to my blow account.
Yes, and now, of course, this is now, but you weren't always able to have $600 a week, as you said, in your blow account.
Yeah.
So you had your first year, you hit $100,000 in, would you say, gross?
Yeah, gross.
And so where did it go from there? Did you just keep in the business? Maintain that?
So the business, I run it pretty lean. Probably.
Well, how old are you now?
34.
And so by the time... So the first couple of years, now you're making money for the first time at 20, really?
Yeah, I think
26.
27 was when it really got good.
And you never had any reason to think about where you're going to put your money because you didn't have any. And so what did you decide to do? You had interest in all these different things like property and stuff. Did you start with property?
Yeah, I did. But the first thing I did was purchased my own house to live in. But it's funny because... financially, on paper, in Australia, it's cheaper to rent where you want to live and invest elsewhere because you claim tax deduction, like your home office, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But because I'm a conservative person, I want to make sure that no one's taking my freaking house. I can live here. Sure. I can paint the wall. Like,
yeah.
So that's just me. Yeah.
You wanted some more power over that.
And I wanted to, while I built the business, I wanted to make sure that home was home in it. And because I'm a business owner, I didn't want to get evicted during a busy time in the business and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So the first thing was, my house. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years later, I bought my first investment property.
And this is big in Australia, right? In investment properties. Someone said that this is, you want to have an investment property. It's very common.
Oh, everyone wants an investment property in Australia.
Yeah. And a lot of people do also in North America, but I feel like it's almost like a rite of passage for you guys.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So then I also, that's when I started as well, capping out my superannuation.
So you're maximizing there.
Yeah, maximizing there.
And so, yeah, so you start your property plus that. And would you say, like, I mean, your expenses are lean. You're one person.
Well, the business expenses are lean. Yeah.
But you're a spender. Yeah. So how does that work?
I've been in the States 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be over 15 grand.
15 grand that you spend. But you have this money now.
Yeah. Well, like, I fly business class.
Yeah.
I went to New York City the last night I did there. It was $850 for a hotel suite overlooking Central Park. Because I'm big on buying experiences and not things.
Sure.
And I give a lot of money away to charities. And I had a meeting the other day with my business coach and my personal financial coach. And I'm like stressing out because I'm like, oh, I'm not doing well. Like, oh. And they're like, well, you're saving over 30% of your income.
So
including the giving.
So you're already saving meaning the investment properties and maxing out super?
Maxing out super, the investment properties.
So you're doing,
and I've got an investment account, like a managed fund,
sure.
Mutual fund account.
Yeah.
It's an investment bond.
Okay.
So I put money in there every month. So in Australia, like, and probably in America, it's like, a lot of money guys are like, I'm property only, equities is crap, or I'm equities only, property's crap. I just like do both.
Yeah, just spread it around.
Yeah.
It's another way to diversify.
Yeah.
And everyone's all about doing all these niche things.
Mm.
But you're only like, let's just reference the 15 grand. You're doing this after everything is covered.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And that's a good lesson. Like, everyone's at different income levels, but you, like, you call it your blow account because you can blow it because you're taking care of everything else.
I'm not a fan of the FIRE movement.
Sure.
Okay, only because I can't be frugal. It's not in me.
Extreme frugality or guerrilla frugality.
Yeah. I just, like, my mentor said to me once, like, Macca, who I referenced before, the millionaire guy, he's like, you can't give anything away because it always comes back.
Mm.
I mean, the other night, just a couple of nights ago, heap of us went out for dinner, and I'm not big noting myself. I'm just I just grabbed the check for the table.
Yeah, because you can afford it.
Yeah, and what is better than experiencing life with friends and food? I mean, for my 33rd birthday, it was so funny. Because I never did an 18th birthday, a 21st, and like they're big landmarks.
You're working.
Well, I just wasn't into that. I don't want to be the same. Anyway, I thought, you know what? I'm 33. I'm going to hire a place and I think I invited 30 people.
Sure.
And it was a sit down dinner and my designer, we worked with the restaurant and it was a cool bar, restaurant, food place. And my dream, like, I remember when I was like 20, I'm like, if I could go out for dinner and pay like $300 for some people for dinner, like, that would be so cool to shout, my friend.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got the menu. My designer did up a menu. That I chose the food from the restaurant. We did it in the same restaurant theme.
Okay.
And it said you only turn 33 once.
Okay, yeah.
And so I invited all my friends. We choose a 3-course meal, choose what you want. The bar was open. Like, the bar girls, when I was organizing it, they're like, oh, do you want just wine and beer? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, all spirits and cocktails. I'm like, no, I want it all.
Everything.
Like, they're my friends. Yeah. Like,
don't want somebody to not have a white Russian because it's not on the menu.
That's right. So, we did my 33rd birthday. I think when I walked out, the bill was $2,200.
Sure.
And I just covered it all for everyone.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the real gift. Like, that was amazing to experience life. See, that night may not have happened because some people there were uni students. They might not have been able to afford a really nice place.
They wouldn't have been able to come. And that happens because you started so young, people who are your age, a lot of them are just starting out.
Totally.
Friends of yours, right?
Totally.
So this all goes back, because I like the you said, like when I was 20, like on the surface, it sounds like you might have come from money or something, right? But you just worked for 10 years before everyone was even doing anything.
Yeah, totally. And it sounds really bizarre. So my financial planning business, most people in Australia get debt and buy businesses and buy clients and then start.
Okay.
But I started everything organically from scratch.
Yeah.
So I had no debt building my business.
Sure. 34 years old now.
Yeah.
So how does someone do what Glenn James did? Like, do they have to do that, you know, apprenticeship? You start early?
Yeah, I think, well, it's just, I'll say I was at a cafe the other day. And there was a young girl who I know from, she's just finishing year 12, or she's just going into year 11 or something.
Okay.
She works there, and, you know, I know her. And one of the other girls said to me, "Oh, Glenn, she's just about to drop out of economics. You're in money. What should she do?"
Yeah.
And I said, "She should do what she wants."
Yeah, that's right.
I actually think if you're listening and you're in school and you know university isn't for you, go and follow your passion. As long as you don't get pregnant, get on drugs, or end up in jail, like, go to university when you're 25.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was 25.
Sure.
So live, get some experience. So how would you do what I did? You need to do something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
You've got to run your own business, unfortunately.
Because otherwise you're capped for income.
Income's capped.
Yeah.
You need systems and processes.
Mm.
So, like, my financial planning business last year when I was taking new clients, there was, say, 20 purple folders and purple folders in my new clients.
Mm-hmm.
We could print a report and see where every single one was at in the process.
Mm.
So, I had maximum efficiency in the business.
Yeah, it's important for scale, which is what you did. To start making $100,000 in your first year, you would have had to...
I'd had to have systems and processes, yeah. And the thing is, it sounds weird, but I wanted to set up the business so each client I sat down with, they felt like they were my only client.
Yeah, as they should.
A lot of it is do what you love, do it for yourself.
Yes.
Get systems and processes. So anything you have to do twice, it's the same. It can be automated.
And how many, you probably worked a lot at the beginning.
Yeah, totally.
Like, how many hours would you say you were working a week, or just like...
To be honest.
Always. Always working.
No, not really.
No? Really? Okay.
I probably only, on average, over the last 8 years, average 3.5 days a week.
Okay.
Maybe four.
So it's the systems and processes.
Yeah.
You would have developed them at the beginning, maybe spent a little extra time then.
Yeah.
To get the process going. And then
I don't like working. Remember when my pop wanted me to do stuff?
Sure, yeah.
But I love doing the vision and helping people.
Yeah.
I love setting up the systems and the processes.
If you're loving the show and want to get more of it, head over and subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's a new daily podcast, and we're dropping daily money hacks, no longer than 5 minutes, right into your headphones.
So I guess, what is a financial advisor doing at FinCon?
Yeah, good question. Well, especially you, we know you have a podcast.
Yep.
I mean, you're pretty set right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess if I really wanted to, I could change. I could literally, like, I've been in the States for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I've probably emailed 2 clients with a question or issue.
Yeah.
I've got a PA who's does a lot of my legwork, and she's the main contact.
Okay.
I could just do whatever I want, whenever I want. I was in London a couple of years ago, and I wasn't happy. And I'm standing at Piccadilly Circus, and there's people everywhere. And it was a last minute trip to London. And I'm like, this is interesting. I'm the envy of my friends, you know, work when I want, travel all over the world.
Yeah.
But I'm not really happy.
Sure.
And to me, that was one time. And there was another time where I got a huge... I do a lot of business insurance, so big business cases, and I got like a $1,000 commission payment. And that same day, I visited someone who was dying. And those two times have really showed me that money, it actually doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
And you've got to hold money loosely.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I've got to provide for future Glenn, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've got to give charitably, which I probably give away 15% of my income to charities. And so a lot of my income goes to saving. All I do is give, save, spend.
Yeah.
That's all I do. But yeah, the money, you just got to hold it loosely.
So you want to spread this message to people.
Yeah.
That's what you talk about in your podcast?
So My Millennial Money, the podcast that I run, so I basically now work in the financial planning business only 2 days a week and not taking new clients. I'm literally just loving and looking after the clients that I've got and treating them well and over-servicing them and blah, blah, blah. But in Australia, there is a huge need for financial literacy for under 30s.
Yes.
It's harder over 30s because they're in habits and routines and behaviors. So I've started, a blog, sortyourmoneyout.com. And then I started a podcast 6 months ago, My Millennial Money, and it's basically infotainment. There's myself, John, who's a property investor, and then a friend, Aaron, who's not in finance. And we talk about topical things just chat about it like friends.
Yes.
So it's engaging and it's going really well in Australia. So what I do
appealing to millennials.
Totally.
Right? Yeah.
So off the back of that, you know, I did a lot of, you know, money and cash flow coaching because I hate budgets, right?
Sure.
Like, don't tell me I've got to log $4 on a coffee.
You're a spender.
I'm a spender.
Yeah.
So that's why I coach people with my course to do the blow account and have the systems and structures in place.
Take care of the big stuff.
And because the blow account, it's good for the spenders like me because it governs me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of every week, when there's $20 left, I feel poor.
No, you do. Yeah.
But that's good because the system's working because that evening there's another $600 coming in.
I like that it actually makes you feel restricted even though
I know.
You have assets
that's crazy.
You can get to.
I know.
That's kind of fascinating.
I'm like, I drive a luxury car. I've got the, you know, the nice watch and all that crap. But why do I feel broke? Oh, it's because my system's working. That's why. But for the savers, the blow account's good because it gives you permission to spend.
I love that. People say a budget gives you permission too.
Totally. Though. So I'm big on the spending plan. Budget scares people
because
it feels restrictive.
Even the word does.
So my job is now to
spending plan. I like
educate
that.
People on how to structure their finances to empower them. You don't need debt for stuff. Save up, pay cash. If you've got to go on the secondhand website, go in the affluent suburbs, get stuff. I mean, when I moved out, I didn't buy a new fridge until last year.
Yeah,
I bought secondhand washer. I've only just started buying nice stuff for my house as it's going.
Yeah.
And as a handy tip, if you're looking for big ticket items for your house, I shop twice a year after Christmas and then at the end of financial year sale. So whatever the two big times in the year are, whether it's in the States, it's like Black Friday.
Sure.
And probably, I don't know. So in Australia, it's like end of financial year is 30 June.
Yeah.
And then the Christmas Day, Boxing Day or sales goes for a month. Like just last Boxing Day, I bought a new bedhead, a new washing machine. I got a nice Bosch washing machine, like all this stuff, like literally 50% discount.
So like this is a good lesson because everyone who's been listening to this knows that you could buy whatever you want at whatever price.
Whenever I want.
Whenever you want, right? Yeah. And it is really interesting because there are people who could and they do, and these people might have the same revenue as you, but they're in debt.
Yes.
And there's probably lots of them.
Yeah.
And they need your system.
Yeah.
And so people think that it's impossible, right? Even the ones that are making or grossing what you are. So even if you get to the point, like you don't even have to get to your level of income to follow this kind of thing and you'll retain a lot of stuff.
Totally. I tell people, do my spending plan and you'll have more money than you've ever had before.
Yeah. Like not everybody needs the blow account or whatever, but a lot of people do.
And exactly.
Like there's so many different ways to look at this. Yeah.
But I was challenged by my business coach the other day. We did this thing where, so maybe draw a cross on a bit of paper. In the middle of the cross is zero and the end points of the cross is 10.
Okay.
So you might write family, relationships, money, health.
Sure.
And you put a dot and rate them.
Yeah.
So my personal health or fitness was quite low.
It was, eh? Okay.
So looking at my personal spending plan,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, I don't want to pay myself more out of the business mm-hmm. because I'm not getting new revenue.
Yeah.
So I had to pull some back from my charitable giving and put into me and do Pilates now once a week.
Yeah, because you won't be able to give if you're not around.
Exactly.
To give.
So
you got to, like you said, balance.
Yeah, so I meet with my own money coach and business coach
mm-hmm.
every 3 months. And we do accountability things and they keep me on track. Like, because I'm a...
Everybody needs coaches.
That's
right.
Right.
Is that your,
yes.
your belief?
I'm a financial advisor. I coach people.
Yeah.
I'm still human. I still want to buy stuff.
You still need some accountability.
I said to them the other day, oh, I think I need to put on a new staff member just to help. And they're like, no, you don't need to.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Well, you just saved me 45 grand a year. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's right. They're looking at it from the outside.
Exactly.
You might get a little wrapped up in it.
Totally. And what I tell clients, you're in your own echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a couple, you're both in an echo chamber.
Yes.
You just need someone else outside to speak into that.
And when did you start delegating to your, say, PA? Did you have one from the beginning?
No, I did everything myself.
Yes.
Until I was running out of hours.
But even you were only working a couple of days a week back then too?
I wasn't working full hour days. So yeah.
Okay.
But because what I was doing was profitable because
yeah.
it was lean and...
Yeah. So lean business.
Yeah. So I think I got a full-time, part-time PA in 2012 and then 13, she went full-time.
Do you remember the motivation at the time to...
I was sick of doing paperwork. I was sick of paperwork. Yeah.
So
it got to the point where I was starting to hate my job because I wasn't working my skill set.
Okay. Yeah. So we need to, like you said, self-awareness. We need to be aware, you know, you're standing there in Piccadilly Circus, you're not happy. And what did you do when you realized that?
I just remember if there's any reason I'm in London, it's to find out that money doesn't make you happy.
It was almost the point of going to, like,
yeah,
this
I'm
is
like,
why I'm here to realize
you know,
this.
Spiritually or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, I had to do that to get some good perspective. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a good realization that money isn't the answer.
Yeah.
It's a tool. I've got options. Money gives you options.
Money gives you options. But like a lot of people in your position, they do make the pursuit of money
totally.
Their goal.
Like there's guys that I hang around with and at events and they just want the big empire.
Yeah.
I'm like, can't be bothered. I mean,
yeah. How much money would you really need, right? Like you're totally taking care of future you and
the overnight success took me 10 years to get to the
that's
night.
That's what a lot of people say, right? It's like, okay, you know, how you make 100 grand or gross it in your first year.
Yeah.
It wasn't your first year at all.
So when people go, oh, I'm on six figures, does that basically mean just over 100?
They're allowed to say it once they hit 100 grand. So it could
right.
be 100, it
could
be 999,000. Yeah, yeah, though it's hard to know. And I think
because it's big here in America, like the six figure thing, like we don't use
because
that.
Because six figures is, it's a lot
yeah.
for most people.
Sure.
So even if it was just $100,000, like right on the dot, that's fine. And so if you say your blog makes six figures a year or whatever it is, that's something that is impressive to people. And I want to repeat this again that I said it a couple of times. It's not like you're spending all of your money. You've taken care of the savings and investments already. You're
yes.
spending the extra and people need that permission to
yeah,
do that.
Totally.
It doesn't matter if it's business class flights or just going out to dinner. If you're taking care of everything else, please just do that.
Yeah.
Right? Spend your money after you've taken care of my friend Shannon Lee Simmons wrote Worry Free Money. And
yeah.
she's like, take care of the fixed stuff. And then you have the bucket left. And that's yours to do what you will with.
Totally. Totally.
And so, yeah, this is all really good lessons. So your podcast name again?
My Millennial Money.
My Millennial Money. And it's focused on Australians, but not...
Yeah, I mean, the concepts that we talk about
yeah.
cross any borders.
Yeah,
I mean, we've
yeah.
got listeners in Canada,
exactly.
America, but if we talk a little bit, and we don't get technical, but if we talk about superannuation or
yeah.
insurance or health insurance, it's going to be Australia specific.
But the messages are the same.
Totally. Like, I grew up, like, Dave Ramsey's show
yeah.
got me through building my business from 2010 to...
Because you didn't have things in Australia.
Yeah.
And you had some books and maybe radio shows and stuff, but not the volume that there is
in
America. And of course, Canada's the same, right? Mm. I mean, the volume is not the same and things are slightly different, but the messages are all the same.
Totally.
And so, and the website?
MyMillennialMoney.com.
Perfect. And so people can listen. You have a bunch of episodes, right? How many have you made?
I think we've got 26 or 7 at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's... That's awesome. And so, yeah, we're in Orlando, Florida at FinCon.
Are you, will I be seeing you in Washington next year?
Yeah, I think I have to.
It's closer to home.
Yeah, it is. And I have family there, so maybe they'll let me stay too. Yeah. So I don't have to stay and pay $40 a day parking.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's what somebody posted in the forum.
I saw that, yeah.
It's 18 here, but I got a nice
parking pass. Man, if this conference was in Sydney, it'd be $80 a day.
That's it, right? And of course, Well, some people would probably fly, right?
Mm.
There. I mean, I was there. If it was when I was there, that would have been great. So you're going to come back? This is like something...
I purchased my ticket today.
You already... And I might do the same. And I mean, it's the cheapest.
It's the cheapest, and you hedge your bet because you get the online...
You can always transfer it at pretty close to the date, I think a month before.
Yeah,
or something.
I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll be here. Yeah. I think I will too. I have to work a few things out, but...
clear it through head office.
we'll figure that out. Okay, well, thanks so much, Glenn.
No worries, that was
fun.
This
is really good, and let's just keep talking about this stuff, right?
Perfect. Thank you so much for listening to that, if you're still listening. It really was a struggle whether I put that up or not, but it's done now. I can't undo it. I really must stress, there isn't a shortcut to anything. You just got to do things right, and it takes time. And that's why, in the previous episodes, we've talked about a sound financial house. When we're building our own personal wealth, we need to do things the right way. I've had clients that will buy the investment properties first without putting insurances in place, without an emergency fund, and they're just living on the line. But if you do things first the right way, like getting your emergency fund sorted, sorting out your insurances, getting those foundations in place, you'll have a much higher chance of long-term success. And when it comes to your career, it's the same thing. You can't be the CEO overnight. I probably couldn't go and land a CEO role overnight. I just haven't had the experience. But what you can do is you just need to start somewhere. Get experience, do what you're passionate about. You can do this, you've got this. This is what we're here for. We're here to encourage you every week. Listen to the podcast, get encouraged. Over the last 9 years, most weeks I've listened to the Dave Ramsey Show. That's what's got me through. Like, no one is above this. We need encouragement. And I really want to do this podcast as a very Aussie encouragement for the Aussie community. I want to do more content this year with Aaron and John. And if you've got any topics that you want covered at all, jump in the Facebook group, put the topic up, start a discussion, and we'll either answer it in the group or take your suggestions and make a show out of it. And if you are still listening, it means you may be a bit of a fan of the show. If you're on Apple and you haven't already, could you please jump on and give us a 5-star review just to try and flush out the haters, And it's kind of cool because I don't think the people who have voted or given 1 star would still be listening right now. So, yeah, appreciate that so much. Remember, sortyourmoneyout.com for the spending plan online course that I run. Use the promo code M3 to get the spending plan course for under $50. It'll change your life if you want it to. It's up to you. It will change your life. I mean, I went out with a mate to grill the other night. Between the two of us, it was like $50. So it's just so cheap if you are serious about getting 2019 in order to have your best year yet financially. Remember, we're doing a bit of a debt countdown. So if you want to go to sortyourmoneyout.com/debt, put your details in and we'll see how much debt we can pay off this year as a group. Thank you so much for listening and for your support. It's just so fun doing this and meeting a lot of you online and sending your testimonies in of how much things have changed. So I'm really looking forward to a great 2019.
Remember, we hang out on Insta at MyMillennialMoney. If you're a regular listener, you're welcome to join our Facebook group. If you want more money hacks, be sure to subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's short money hacks anywhere, anytime, right into your ears. Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Get Up Approach Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.